The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It's Wednesday night, and you know what that means. It's time for Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. And just real quick, I want a happy birthday wish to Cape Championship Wrestling for turning 1 year old sometime last week or the week before. I forget the exact date of it. But anyway, we're going to talk about our great time that we have with Cape Championship Wrestling here a little bit later in the evening. So if you're wanting to check out that review and our thoughts and reviews and whatnot, skip ahead probably about an hour and a half. Knowing this show, you know, we got some wrestling news to talk about first. Let me introduce the panel. Shannon Young, of course, your host for tonight. Ace of Gray, the five-star man down at the end of the table.
Yes, we have a lot. There's a lot of notes. Like, it looks a lot longer than it is, but that's just because I went more elaborate on the notes than just
basic stuff.
Yeah.
Which is good because when you weren't here and you sent me the notes, there was some stuff, like, I was worried that it was going to be like normal and you were just going to put like two or three words and then I was going to see it and go, Dalton, tell me about this. And Dalton was going to go, I don't know. That's Asa's job. I miss Asa. Also here tonight, actually not a bear. God bless.
You want to try that again?
Yeah, let's just do the whole intro over again.
No, right, cool. Didn't mean that.
Allie Abear.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
You look lovely.
Oh, thanks.
You know who looks lovelier, though? The big D, Dalton Anthony.
Why you got to lie to her?
Boom. Goes.
The dynamite.
Brought it back. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, now we can do the whole intro again.
Real quick, rumor killer. Let's rumor kill real quick. You guys may have saw this story. I don't think we posted this story, but we didn't talk about it. The Braun Strowman thing.
There was a reason I left it off the notes.
Well, you saw the Karen Jarrett thing, right?
Yeah.
I just think it's important to say, for those of you that heard the rumor about Karen Jarrett and Braun Strowman getting into a big thing at a bar a couple of weeks ago, and Braun Strowman apparently got on his knees and begged for forgiveness and stuff like that.
Because he thought Kurt Angle was actually his boss.
Right. Karen Jarrett came out today in an interview and flat out said, she laughed and said, no, that was just wrestlers getting into character and playing around. It was a joke. So for everyone that thought, oh, wow, Braun Strowman, it was a joke. It's okay. He's still the nicest monster you'll ever meet.
That entire original story was written like bad fan fiction.
It almost looked like The Onion.
Yeah. The fact that they used, and then Karen Jarrett cut a really loud, long promo on, like, you're gross, get out of here. It's stupid.
I didn't know you hated it that much.
I
thought it was a weird story.
It's fake news. Like, It's any version of it just gets under my skin.
You just triggered me, and I'll tell you why here in a second. Well, after the show. Let's kick off with, what do you want to kick off with? Let's kick off with some video game news, because this is pretty exciting. They announced the WWE 2K18 Cena Nuff Edition.
I love the name. God.
I hate the name. It's literally like, hey, so you know this jab that they take because they hate this guy and they're sick of seeing him everywhere?
Let's make money off of it.
Spend money on that, right?
I mean, I am.
Yeah. Dalton and I both have it ordered for the record. Yeah.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Well, no, hear me out. I have justification. I'm more than likely going to get the game. I know I say I'm not every year, but I always do. And with the season pass, and what I really want is I want the ring mat.
I have the Cena beat AJ Styles. I have the list of everything.
You have the list? Okay. Yeah. And the reason that's important to me, I just want to say, is because I have the 2K15 one where Hogan came back. I have that mat. I have the one from the NXT one. I think it was from London, right?
Yeah, you have NXT London.
And then I want this one. I love those ring mat collectibles. That's very cool to me. Dalton has the list of what you get in this edition.
Yeah, so in the 2K18 Cena Nuff, you get an exclusive Mattel Cena figure, which, I mean, if they keep it in a blister card, may actually be worth something. Like, if it's just a loose figure in the box, that might be an issue.
I think it's a loose figure from the picture I saw, but maybe they took it
out. But, I mean, if it's in a blister card, you could probably sell that in a year for at least $40.
Yeah.
Limited
might have been more if Shinsuke had killed him last night.
Yeah, true. Ooh. Limited edition Fanatics commemorative plaque featuring a piece of the ring mat, which is what you were talking about, from the AJ Styles when he won his 16th championship.
Which, that sounds like it's going to be part of, like, you're not just getting, like, the little piece, you're getting, like, a bigger...
Which good
thing?
I mean, they said there's like 30,000 of these that are going out. They've capped it.
Yeah, so, they capped NXT at 50.
50,000.
So this is actually less, and that's awesome because it's $50 more than what NXT was. But the reason of that
150 bones.
You get the exclusive figure, which again, if you could probably sell it about it for at least $20 day it comes out. You get the, and this is the big, you get the deluxe edition of the game, so not the base edition. Mm-hmm. So you actually get early access, so we'll get it on Friday instead of Tuesday, and, it comes with the season pass, which NXT didn't.
Yeah.
So I had to, we spent $130. It didn't, cause we both had to buy the season.
Yeah, it didn't.
Did it really not?
Yeah, cause nope. Remember,
cause I bought that NXT edition, and it didn't come with the.
Yeah. Because
oh,
remember.
Man, that would have rip off. Legitimately,
but it was,
I
mean, but it was also $50 less.
That's true. And it had that sweet,
Finn Balor statue, yeah.
Which I liked much more than the John Cena.
But
figure.
You're also getting more characters-ish.
Yeah. Okay. So name the special characters. Cause when you get the Kurt Angle pack, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah. So you get Kurt Angle. So you get two Kurt Angles. You get American Hero and you get Wrestling Machine.
I refuse to count those as multiple characters.
Well, because... I got bad news for you because you also get John Cena plus the Doctor of Thuganomics.
You get, yeah, that's what I was saying. You get Doctor of Thuganomics. Doctor of Thuganomic Cena from 2006 One Night Stand mm-hmm. with Van Damme. You also get 2010 from WrestleMania 26.
And speaking of Van Damme.
Rob Van Damme and Batista are actually characters in this game mm-hmm. that you only get through that edition from what I can tell.
So that's cool. That's the thing.
Or you may get it with the deluxe. It's saying that. And then you also get a limited edition and cards of Cena, Batista. Oh, it's like little things with the back of the code. So that's what.
Yeah,
that's
the inserts.
Be. Yeah, yeah.
I have a problem with that. You get Rob Van Dam and Batista.
I don't for the reason of last year.
What was last year?
It was the NXT startup pack, which was Nakamura, Jax, and Apollo Crews, three people that should have been in the base game.
That's true.
I'm
yeah.
Okay, I'm okay with paying for Legends because that's not somebody that I can put in my universe mode.
I guess it's just hard for me to really, like when I hear the name Batista especially, I don't associate it with Legend yet. That's
really?
Just on me. That's just on me. Van Damme more so, but at the same time, I hear Van Damme and Batista and I think, man, they were in like every game. That's not special, but it is because they haven't been in there. Well, Batista may have been.
Batista was in 2016 last and Van Damme was in 2015, but they were also doing comeback roles at that point.
Right.
Wait a minute. No, Batista was in 16, I'm pretty sure. He was.
I don't think he was in 17.
He was not in 17.
Because he was created. I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's cool. I'm getting it because with the Best Buy deal, you can, all right, if you don't have Best Buy, you get the Gamers Club unlock thing, and you can get this edition. I mean, if you've ordered it, because if you haven't ordered it by now, you might not be able to get it, but it's $120 with that. If you count that the game is 60 and the season pass is usually around 30 to 40.
Well, the deluxe edition's 90.
Right.
So for $30 more dollars, you're getting extra stuff.
Right. So I can justify it in my own head. Plus, I really want that mat. That's very, I don't know why. That's very, I don't get stuff like that normally, like those collectibles. Mm-hmm. And I love the Hogan one so much. I mean, say what you will. I know.
Yeah.
But I really love that mat because that was very cool to me. And then the NXT one, also very cool. I'd like to keep collecting those.
I mean, yeah. And it was with the NXT. I didn't buy the Hogan one just because I wasn't.
Lonnie actually bought me the Hogan one for Christmas.
Yeah. And I don't buy,
cool.
I never bought, like, I never bought the collector's editions. I never bought a collector's edition of the game until last year's 2K.
The last one I bought was, what was the one where they made a big emphasis on tag teams? I think Sean and Hunter were on the cover.
2009.
Was 2009?
Yeah.
I think there was a collector's edition of that I bought and it was terrible.
Yeah.
There was like an Undertaker case or something and maybe a koozie. I don't know.
But yeah,
it's
no.
been a while.
Like, it's one of those things that I am perfectly fine with spending the money on it just because it's the one game a year that I get truly excited for. Like and I'm the opposite you. Like, I understand that it's a sports game. I also used to buy Madden every year. But
no, I love buying them too. I buy them every year. It's just that every year, it's the same thing every year. We talked about it last year and probably the year before that. It's always we see it, we kind of get excited about it and like all the new features and stuff that should have already been in because a lot of them were in old games. They just took them out and put them back in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never enough of a change to really justify the excitement.
This year though,
but we do this every year. We always go, but this year.
Eight man. They haven't done that.
That I am excited about. Eight man.
There was some
eight people on screen at once,
yeah.
Which is insane. They haven't done that since. I know Dreamcast had Royal Rumble. I don't know if another game has done it.
I think Attitude had it.
But that's unheard of for so long. And you would think the technology
and,
they would
and,
be able
no,
to do
yeah,
it.
And there's literally no reason it shouldn't have been except for they still wanted to put it out on the 360 and PS3.
Yeah.
Which I'm wondering, and I'm hoping, do you think the Switch will have 8-man tag?
Maybe. I mean,
they've given us no information about the Switch, what makes it separate.
No, yeah. And like, I don't know. That's one of those things where we're just going to have to wait and see how that turns out because it wouldn't, like, I would be pleasantly surprised if the Switch had everything that the PS4 and the Xbox One versions did, but
plus
it wouldn't
the Switch bonuses.
But
know?
It wouldn't surprise me even a little bit if it was the kind of the,
this is the 360
the
PS3 edition.
Yeah.
Right.
Now I will say also, two more things before we wrap up on this.
Sure.
The reason that I think they're doing 20,000 less, and this is just me speculating than what they did for, NXT is because the amount, like the people that are buying the Cena Enough Edition are going to be Cena fans or just people like you that want to collect every year. As opposed to the NXT edition, there was people that were legitimately excited
about the edition.
Cause the box, like, I still have the box.
I do too.
I didn't throw anything away from that. But like even Asa bought it day of without ordering
it. Yeah, I didn't pre-order it.
So
Zach Price spent an extra like $70 to get it like day of because he didn't pre-order it and couldn't find one. So he special ordered one online and paid the ultimate price.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Ten.
I'm so sorry.
But yeah, so I think that's why there's a way more limited number of it. And also, when you're listening to this, which will probably be tomorrow, which will be the third, WWE has announced that they are going to be releasing first screenshots of the game. So we'll actually get it
tomorrow.
Yep.
On my special day.
On your special day.
That's awesome because I want to see how well it is because a lot of people, they said the last game didn't look much different from the one before that.
Ooh, I very much disagree.
I'm on both sides because it looks similar, but I did agree the lighting was better.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited to see what they could do with this game.
15, 16 to 17. You can see there's an improvement every year.
You were playing 2010 earlier, and I was like, that looks really good.
Yeah.
I forgot how good those old games look, too. You know? It's like it went from PS2 to 360, and then it was just kind of similar for the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there were definitely some aspects that were better.
Yeah.
I had one more thing about the Cena Enough Edition that I wanted to mention, but I don't remember.
Is it anything about maybe that you think we're getting into showcase mode this year?
Oh, no. I was going to ask.
Never mind.
Yeah. No, a legitimate question, and I'm asking to all of you guys. Do you think they missed the boat on making it an Undertaker edition instead?
They did
or
that.
Do you think they went the right thing with Cena?
They did it 3 years ago on 14, 4 years ago.
I don't even remember that one.
It was my favorite showcase mode they did, which was 30 years of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So it was the Undertaker streak because it was right before he lost to Brock. So it came in a casket and it had like, you got Biker Taker for free. Well, not for free. You paid for it, but
of course. Yeah.
But like I think it also came with like the Undertaker DVDs of his WrestleMania matches. So and that was like, I was talking to Ace. I was like, they should do Taker, but they literally did that 4 years ago.
And we never had a John Cena special edition.
No, and I mean, it's a good time to do it. Actually, was it 2 years ago that he did the U.S. Open Challenge?
That was last year. Was it last year?
No, it was two years ago.
Like 2 years ago.
That would have been the best time to do it.
The U.S. Open version, and you get like a little belt with it too.
Yeah,
like
and that was also whenever Cena was the most over he's been in a while. Just because his matches were so great.
That's true. He did have a great match with Shinsuke Nakamura on SmackDown, which we are going to talk about.
I think that's part of the reason that like I'm disappointed that it's Cena is because all of the marketing for this game up until they announced it's the Cena Enough Edition is we're focusing on the current roster. Seth Rollins made a big deal in an interview saying like, yeah, it's great you're bringing in all these legends, but you know, you're kind of glossing over the people who are here now.
Yeah, and with the big push that they did for Seth Rollins with the whole him burning down the archives and stuff like that, I thought Seth Rollins would be...
Well, I mean,
he's the cover guy.
I was thinking maybe S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, like a S.H.I.E.L.D. version of it?
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
But...
I can see why they went with Cena over S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. You know, John Cena, I believe, is still the number one seller, right?
I don't think that's true. I think Roman has taken that.
Yeah. You think Roman?
I'm pretty sure Roman's taken that. Like,
it's also going to be a bummer just because if it is Cena and that's going to be their mode. Because, I mean, in the special editions, they still do like kind of screw you if you don't buy the special edition. Like, I wouldn't surprise me if they did a showcase mode and Batista and Cena or Van Damme were both in the game.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they did that with Warrior. But it would be really lame if we had a Cena showcase mode and like we don't have CM Punk.
Who?
I don't like that bit right now just for the reason of just being like, he had like for 2 years, that was his best opponent.
Did you say CP Monk from?
Oh my God. What's next on the list? You just broke me out of it. What's
Please tell Allie about CP Monk.
It's a parody wrestler that Chikara did because for whatever reason, Chikara was mad at Punk and they did, his tag team partner was Colt Cabunny. And it was literally just like mascots wrestling.
This is the Dalton laugh. That was how funny that was. That was so stupid. What was it? CP Monk?
CP Monk and Colt Cabunny.
I never heard of Colt Cabunny.
Really?
No, that's new on me. Oh, that's fantastic. That's great news. Here's what's not good news is that Renee Young, I'm going to go in order. Renee Young is going to appear on Raw and SmackDown.
Why is that not great news?
Because I feel like they're running her. That's so much to do for one person.
I mean, Corey Graves is doing it. He does commentary for Raw and he's on 205 Live's commentary. So he has to go, which is filmed after SmackDown.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
So there are people who are doing it and I think this is their way of kind of like making up to her that they've canceled two of her shows now on the network.
But she's still, I imagine she's still doing backstage interviews, right?
Yeah, that's what she's doing. Like, she's just, now she's just doing them for both shows. And she's hands down the best backstage interviewer they have.
She is, but I feel like they could do so much more with her. We've said it before. Mm-hmm. They could do so much more. She should be the first female announcer, like on a main show.
Like commentator.
Yeah. Commentator, yeah, sorry. You don't think so?
I liked her on NXT.
She was okay, but she was not, she is a much better backstage interviewer than that a commentator.
Was... And I mean, the only thing that I'll argue is it was like 3 years ago.
No, yeah.
3-4 years ago. I think she would be a lot better now.
Because she did great in the Talking Smack segments.
I don't
she
agree
did
with
great.
That. She would be better now because now she's had 3 years out of practice.
Well, I mean, not entire. Well, sort of. But I mean, she did the pre-shows and the post-shows, the Talking Smack.
Which
She's clearly good at hosting.
Yeah, she's great at hosting and she's great at interviewing. She just wasn't great at commentary. And I love Renee Young. I think she's great at what they have her doing now. They should not have canceled Talking Smack because... Her and Daniel Bryan made that show.
They had a magic. And Shane, too, when he was on. I thought they were all good.
Shane was okay, but he was very much like, don't want to make dad mad. Whereas Bryan,
Bryan doesn't care.
His nickname is now literally, please, please fire me, please.
They also canceled, he said, Smacking Talk. Mm-hmm. That's gone.
That was a one-off thing. So. Which, again, please fire me. Please, please, please fire me. Because you know the reason they said that they were canceling Smacking Talk?
No.
Because of budget cuts.
A lot of that was happening.
It was recorded on his phone.
Yeah. In a time where they're doing legitimate budget cuts and like...
Maybe just they didn't get the tout ratings they wanted.
I feel like he's really just like, hey, you want to save some money?
I know where you can save money. You save a lot of money.
Oh, you like that, don't you? You like wrestling in front of all the fans, don't you? Well, why don't you quit? Go back to the bingo halls. Oh.
What was that on?
Release Miz for a month. Just so they can main event like ROH.
Yeah. On their own terms.
Yeah.
Not neutered like the WWE would do.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I take that back because I think Brian might actually kill him.
Remember that like, chant?
Yeah.
What chant?
You're going to get your head kicked in.
Ring That's of Honor fans are impressive. Chance.
But it's a good one, especially when he's about to.
Hey.
I think it was against Aries.
It was.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
So. Speaking of budget cuts, I didn't know this. They canceled, because I heard they were cutting budget.
Yep.
I also heard that there's a possibility that the talent roster cuts could be coming soon, that they do yearly.
Which that's been rumored for like 2 years now, and we haven't had like a mass exodus like they've been calling for the last 2 years.
And that, Ali, I don't think you've been around long enough to see these, but like literally you'll see one person got released, seven more.
It's WWE spring cleaning.
Yeah.
So right now what it would be is say tomorrow Curt Hawkins, they released Curt Hawkins.
Future endeavored him.
He's future endeavored. And then Friday it would be the Colognes and Heath Slater. And then Monday, it would be The Ascension.
Emma.
Emma, Aiden English, and like four people from NXT who haven't debuted yet.
Yeah. And it will happen.
And that's...
It will happen.
You know how we...
Maybe not the same people, but it will happen.
I don't know if it will, because they seem very... It seems like their focus is on keeping talent. Like, unless they actively ask for their release. Unless you're Daniel Bryan.
Well, no, if you're Austin Aries, they will let you.
I mean,
you
if you're Daniel Bryan, they actively try to keep their talent because they're still keeping him. They're not letting him go.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
oh,
Ali, you know how we talked about Jinder and Drew McIntyre about how they were let go? They were let go into spring cleaning.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a random day. I think
there's certain people that you always expected to get it that never got, like, Zack Ryder. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, everyone, like, that one had Yoshitatsu, Evan Bourne, and then two people of 3MB. There was also, like, eight others. But, like, Heath stayed. A bunch of people that were just like, Sandow stayed whenever he really wasn't doing anything at that point. Like, their spring cleaning is just kind of weird.
It is sometimes. Yeah. Cause they never released the people. JTG was released.
Oh, that was the same one.
Eventually.
Yeah. That was like,
he made the mistake of answering his phone.
Yup.
Cause it's the reason that they're always given is creative has nothing for you.
Yep.
And so they let those people go.
Creative really doesn't have anything for anybody these days.
But then they try to keep around a handful of people like Heath Slater at the time, Zack Ryder, who they can keep as kind of the low card. People.
Jobber is you know what Jobber is?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the things that they have cut that we know for sure. Edge and Christian show is gone.
There won't be a season 2 of the Edge and Christian
Reconvulsiveness. Which is a shame because I thought the show was kind
of
cool.
That was one of the better things because I don't watch a whole lot of the original network stuff, but that was one that I actually watched a lot of.
Because it was entertaining.
Yeah, and it was risque too.
Yeah. Like,
will they talk about
Well, they mentioned TNA.
Will they mention TNA?
Nope.
Yeah. All of Renee Yoshi.
Renee Young shows?
Yoshitatsu shows are gone.
Yep. What?
Yeah, he's gone. Renee Young's shows are gone. So that was what? Unfiltered?
Unfiltered and Talking Smack.
And Talking Smack. Yep. Unfiltered I never really watched. It was a perfectly fine show. I just didn't watch it.
It was good. Like, yeah. It's kind of one of those things where it's just like it's two people who like wrestling talking about wrestling.
Yeah.
If she started a podcast.
She did one. It was right before WrestleMania 30. And it was like, I don't remember the name of it, but it was Road to WrestleMania, I'm sure is what it was called. Mm-hmm. But like she did one with Cody and Goldust. Like they were fun to listen to.
Yeah, no, like that's something I would love to see her start doing.
And Talking Smack, we've said before, is just one of the best things they've ever done.
I put it on Twitter. It's like, yeah, if Vince doesn't want the show because it's unscripted, then he might as well just take the brass ring off the table.
Yeah.
Because that's
only way you can get over.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes did an interview where he said that, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm going to lose it if I don't say it now because I'm forgetful. But he had an interview where he said recently that he blames WWE less for what happened and more for himself, that he didn't take more of a chance and make more of an effort to, like, you know, do stuff on mm-hmm. the fly and make himself look good. Yeah, because they won't write it for you. Mm-hmm. You kind of just fall into it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, if you're going to get punished for going off the script, but that's the only way to get ahead. Like, it seems weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. They also canceled R-Truth's game show.
He had a game show that he had filmed a pilot for that they were going to add as like a regular thing. But they decided that the pilot will not air.
Did anybody see this? Did they ever air it? Or like,
no,
did they
it never, it never
like
aired.
Like even on WWE.com or anything like that? Mm-hmm.
Because it would have been on like streamable or something, but no, it's never seen the light of day and now it looks like it's not going to.
That sounds like a disaster.
Yeah. That's why I asked in the group chat randomly. I was like, hey, so does anyone actually watch Raw? Cause did they ever finish up the Goldust R-Truth angle that never ended?
Yeah. He won two matches and that was it.
Goldust won one match. They had one match. Goldust attacked R-Truth before their match started 1 week. The next week Goldust beat him. And then they haven't been seen since, except for to hold two wrestlers apart during a tearaway brawl.
Well, the Golden Age can't come out every week.
Apparently.
It's too special.
I always feel bad when Goldust comes out in full makeup for that.
For that, yeah.
And that's his one appearance.
I like to think that Goldust just walks around that way. He wakes up in the morning and he puts his gold stuff on and everybody's like, oh, are you wrestling tonight? No, I'm going to Walmart.
Oh, what was it was whenever they were doing Stardust, but like Goldust, it was that in like, this was when Cody Rhodes, whenever it was Stardust, he lived the gimmick anytime he had that makeup on. And it was, I think it was like Wrestling Compadres, but one of them like Dustin Rhodes did not have the makeup on and he was being himself. And then Cody was in full Stardust doing the full bit when it was new, whenever mm-hmm. he was creating everything. And it just sounded like anytime Dustin talked, it was just like, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to be an only child today. Like, I'm going to murder my brother.
God, if there was ever anyone that I wish would get a title shot, it was Goldust.
He deserved it three, 4 years ago whenever he came back, like with the Randy Orton.
In great shape.
The Brotherhood stuff was
amazing. Doing Hurricane Ranas at 44. Like,
yeah. Goldust is an all-time great. Like, mm-hmm. Just an all-time great.
Oh, yeah, no, he's a...
There are still people that won't appreciate him ever, though. Yeah. Because of the...
Because of the weirdness of
the weirdness
gimmick.
Of the gimmick, yeah.
And that's why I appreciate him. Because it was the way weird. He went full into it.
And he wanted to go further.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm talking about.
He wanted to get breast implants.
He wanted to get breast implants.
The Rhodes family is weird.
I rate them. Weird kids.
They're committed.
Weird.
It's weird.
They should be committed. You were absolutely right. Get it?
FTR.
Okay.
Jesus.
Let's talk about Battleground. Was Battleground, that was a week ago, right?
That was a week ago.
Cause we got some new information. We all said during the last show that the AJ Owens match seemed a little weird. Something happened.
The ending of the match was weird.
Cause it was clearly AJ's shoulders were pinned mm-hmm. for a long time.
Yeah.
And it made AJ look terrible.
Yes.
He got the title back on SmackDown, which I'm not 100% on either.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that at all.
But, Asa, we have a reason sort of now of what happened.
Yeah, because we thought, like, maybe we're not really sure what we thought. Like, there's some sort of miscommunication that happened there. Like, it looked bad. There's no two ways about it.
It was just awkward.
But apparently, the finish of that match changed during the match.
Yeah.
That's some late-level WCW stuff
right
there.
And not even during the match. Like, right before the referee went down, in the final, like, minute and a half, That's when it got changed.
And that's just crazy.
And so my going theory on it is, oh, hey, actually, Owens is winning. Figure it out. And there was some sort of miscommunication, and the referee didn't know that's where it was going to go, so that's why he was really hesitant on the count, because he didn't want to count wrong.
And I don't know what we were watching earlier. It was on Botchamania, but it was an interview. It was probably from a podcast where the guy was saying the thought that AJ Styles would forget to put his shoulder up before three is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know.
I love Botchamania.
And then they tried to do, and then on SmackDown, they pretty much redo the entire bit.
Yeah.
Like the entire finish.
I read that. I didn't see it, but I read it. And as I was reading it, I went, this sounds familiar.
Yeah. Cause they did almost the exact same thing. Cause the referee, like he got blinded and he took like a thumb to the eye or something. And so he was out of position, couldn't see properly. And then that's what's leading to now the SummerSlam match of AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens again with Shane McMahon as referee.
Which will lead to. The big rumor is Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon.
I don't know if it will now, because like that very much seemed like a SummerSlam match. But I don't want them. I don't want that to carry over to WrestleMania.
Or it'll carry over to Royal Rumble.
Even that's.
I mean, that's one of their big four.
That's January.
I mean,
that's,
no, I don't.
That's like 3.5 months away. That is a long build.
I mean, no, but I'm just saying. I don't think it would hold over till Royal Rumble, unless like literally. It happens.
Like a Survivor Series November?
Yeah, Survivor Series.
Survivor Series would be before that. But no, it would be one of those, like, the seeds would get planted in SummerSlam, and then, like, we really wouldn't hear much about it until WrestleMania came around. Like, it wouldn't
I think Survivor Series is probably the best bet. But here's my fear of that is at some point, so far they've done a pretty good job of having Shane McMahon wrestle these guys and not make them look bad by winning.
Oh yeah, no, yeah.
Someone's gonna lose.
They're one
for
one.
Two for two. Taker one.
Oh, that, I don't even count that one.
Well, and I'm not even talking about how good the match was. I just mean the wins.
Yeah.
Like Shane McMahon's never won.
Yeah.
As far as I know, he's never won, has he?
Not since he's been back.
No, because he only beat X-Pac, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, when he won, it was always like through shenanigans, but. He's won belts. Like I think he was a European championship. Yeah. I think at one point he may have held the Intercontinental belt.
But that was when he was younger. Now he's a little older.
Yeah.
He's fought his heart out, but he's lost. But I'm afraid that at some point someone's gonna lose to him. And God, would it be Kevin Owens? Would Kevin Owens finally be the one that Shane McMahon beats?
I mean, if he did, Kevin Owens is one of those people that I think he could eat that loss and still be fine.
I don't know.
And I mean, it's just because I'm giving a lot of credit to Kevin Owens.
Hot potato the U.S. title some more. I don't really nothing like a big win for him doesn't like scream at me, except for I guess Jericho at Mania. No, the day after Mania.
I mean, he also won the Universal title whenever
that was after, or that was before.
Are we talking about Styles or
no? I'm talking about
Kevin
Owens.
And we're saying that no one should lose to Shane McMahon, right?
Yes.
That's just the rule, unless. Test comes back from the dead and hits a ethereal slam and puts him down.
At this point, Shane has shown that he's a viable contender because he was competitive with The Undertaker and AJ Styles both.
Mm-hmm.
With the AJ Styles match, I think speaking way more to his merit than
The Undertaker match,
which was kind of a dumpster fire.
But I mean, we talked about it in the group chat. Like, I feel like the Kevin Owens Shane McMahon singles match needs to be no holds barred, no DQ, like some sort of gimmicky.
Yeah.
Because there's no way. As much as I love Kevin Owens as a wrestler, him and Shane McMahon are not going to have a better wrestling match than AJ Styles and Shane McMahon had.
Yeah.
Unless they see that as the challenge. You know?
I mean, they can see it as the challenge, but I don't think they're gonna, they would be able to do it. I would love to be proven wrong, but.
I just got a message from Damone, cause he asked, am I to phone in today? And then he asked, not today. I forgot to message him back. Yeah, we don't really have that set up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't really have a good way to do this.
No, the interview we had that we did with Ian Dallas from Giant Sparrow for Nerd Up was literally we had to plug in a Bluetooth speaker into Jesse's laptop so we could hear the questions. And then,
I'm messaging him back right now next
that
week.
That took a minute.
Next week, I believe. And I will get it figured out.
Before then.
Before the next one. And Damone, if you're listening to this.
Why are you so scary?
We will get you on the air and you can air all those grievances that you have with KLD and with Jason Wells and all that. Oh, he gives me a thumbs up.
Yay.
Oh, thank God. That dude creeps me out.
Then he turns the thumb to the side and it goes across the throat emoji.
Yeah, right. I don't think they have that emoji.
He's made it.
Also,
he has a lot of time just north of Purgatory.
Also, the emoji movie, apparently it's soul ripping, but Maybe we'll talk about that on Thursday. No, we won't. Anyway.
Next Thursday.
Yeah. John Cena. Speaking of movies.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Zach Price just messaged me too. Everyone's talking to me tonight. Leave me alone. John Cena is going to maybe not star, but he's going to be in the Transformers spinoff movie, Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Yay!
Good for you! Thank God they're making
Full-timer.
More of them. So that's...
Oh man, Rusev. Rusev got him on Twitter. I forgot what he said. But it was pretty much just calling him a part-timer. It was great.
Good story. Can you blame him, though?
No, yeah. Like, it's...
Wait, oh, did you just burn Dalton?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like, I'm going to reference a tweet that I don't remember at all. But he's not a full-timer anymore. He is absolutely deserved a lighter schedule and to not, you know, be on TV every week, every house show. But I very much take issue with the fact that he comes out and when he does come out and say, yeah, I never went away. It's like The Rock and I will never leave. Missing posters.
There was a great feud that happened when The Rock left and he came back. And I can't remember who it was, but his main point was that you left. You said you wouldn't leave. I'll never leave. I am WWE. What was that guy's name?
The Hurricane?
No. Gummy Joe? No. John Cena. John Cena.
Okay.
You get the bit there? Yeah, John Cena.
I thought you meant like Attitude Era. Yeah.
No.
Because that was kind of entertaining. That was kind of the Hurricane.
And he beat him, but he didn't beat him because he didn't beat The Rock.
No, he beat the Scorpion King.
Yeah. So John Cena, who criticized The Rock, and I know he's referenced this. This is not me like bringing up new dirt that no one's heard before.
Right.
But it's still funny to me that John Cena criticized The Rock so heavily about part-time acting and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and then did the exact same thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, to not near as much success.
Yeah.
Although everyone starts somewhere.
The Rock's first movies were not.
They were good. They just weren't successful.
Yeah, the Tooth Fairy was
The Rundown.
Great movie.
The Rundown was a good movie.
Rundown was a good movie.
Scorpion King was.
Walking Tall.
Walking Tall was good.
Be Cool.
I don't think I saw that one.
He wasn't a main actor in that, though.
But he was awesome in it as the gay like.
Yeah, he was.
He was pretty. Yeah, he was awesome.
He is pretty.
I will also say that I enjoyed the first and third Transformers movies a lot. I did not like the second one. It was god awful. I did not watch Age of Extinction. I have not watched The Last Knight. I probably won't ever. And I won't watch Bumblebee because Bumblebee is my least favorite Transformer. Now, if he was starring in a movie called Starscream, sure, but not Bumblebee. That's vanilla Transformer.
Isn't it like, it's supposed to be like a prequel or something too?
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Nobody noticed this transforming car.
Now, instead of Mark Wahlberg, we get big Mark Wahlberg.
Mm-hmm.
Are you complaining?
No.
Without the racism. I'm sorry, is that news that Mark Wahlberg, like...
That is. I didn't...
Yeah, wait. I actually...
I know. Did he kill a guy?
I don't know if he killed a guy, but he absolutely assaulted a shop owner.
Maybe that's what it was. He assaulted. I thought he killed him, but I think it was just assault. Yeah, no, I have heard that story. We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll get to that.
After the show?
After the show.
Okay.
Because right now we got to talk about Elias. That's it.
God.
Samson.
No.
Samson, get you lifted.
That's a good movie.
Thank you. So Elias Samson lost his last name, just like, Ali, I'm going to name off some wrestlers. I'm going to need you to tell me the other part of their name that got lost. All right. Big E.
Oh, isn't it Langston?
It is.
Good job. All right. She's one for one.
Rusev.
I do not remember Rusev.
Dalton for the steal.
Alexander.
And there's others too, isn't it? I can't remember all of them.
Well, I mean, there's others. Cesaro's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Antonio.
No, Antonio.
All right.
I can't think of any other wrestlers that have it off the top of my head.
No, I mean, I'm trying to, Neville? Adrian Neville?
Yeah, there's another one.
Dallas? He used to be Bo Dallas.
Oh, I just wish they would start calling him Dallas.
They can't legally. For various reasons.
Yeah, those are the main ones.
So I can't think
of any others.
Got one.
Yeah, no, that was actually really impressive, that one.
So they took away Elias Samson's name.
They took away Elias's name.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, they took away Samson. Either way.
I mean, that was Elias's name.
I'm very tired. I've always hated that. I don't ever understood why they do that.
Especially, like, I mean.
Elias Samson
Big
sounds
E makes
cool.
sense because, like, you can still say his name is Ernie Langston. He's Big E. It's a nickname. It works.
And then Cesaro and Rusev you can get away with because they're kind of very impactful names. But Elias is just.
But I don't feel like there's a problem with having two names.
No, why is that a bad thing? Yeah.
You know?
I still think Adrian Neville sounds better than Neville.
Yeah.
Like he sounds, for the King of the Cruiserweights, and he is very animated and like just 1960s Dick Tracy villain, cartoony evil.
I mean, Adrian Neville is just a cool name.
But Neville I don't know, just like Neville seems too cartoony for it.
Neville seems too weak. Like, it's not a...
A strong name. Not like, Rusev or Cesaro. Yeah.
Cesaro and Rusev are strong. Like, you hear Rusev.
But the way Antonio Cesaro, that just sounds good.
That's sexy.
Like, whenever they first announced that, like, cause I wasn't the big fan of his indie name, Claudio Castagnoli. Like, no one's gonna be able to say that.
No.
Yeah. And I think they said, like, they kind of announced it via, like, the King of the Ring tournament, where, like, they just said, like, they showed his bracket. And it was just Cesaro, because he was Antonio Cesaro for a long time in main roster. Yeah.
They have a love of taking away those first names.
The same thing with Big E, because like he was definitely Big E Langston when he won the Intercontinental belt.
And I get that. Langston's kind of a weird name.
Rusev, I'm pretty sure they took it away whenever he went to main roster.
That I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure. Like,
but
I'm, like,
can we all agree that Elias as a...
That just sounds stupid.
Yeah, that's dumb.
We used to have an Elias in Caro that I used to go shop for toys at. It was a store called Elias. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, one person's going to get that joke. Anyway, yeah, so I don't get it, why they need to do that. I suggest we do that for more people. Coming soon to CCW, you can see favorite stars like Barbed Wire or Hills. How about that? How about our favorite women's wrestler, Graw?
Graw.
It took a second.
Did it?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate for you.
Oh, God. He just put you on burn notice. Anyway.
God. Tired.
Now it's just called Notice. Did that one take a second?
Shut up, Asa.
He'll forever, now his name is just, well, Dalton or Anthony. It works either way. Never mind. Joke's ruined. Asuka, the second most successful Japanese wrestler in WWE according to Dalton.
Most decorated.
Most decorated.
Second most decorated.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Did she have a SmackDown pay-per-view that was pretty much promoed for her?
No, but she passed the New Day's reign and is now the 8th longest title holder in history.
Oh, well, you got me on that
one. She will beat number 7. Unless something crazy happens, because Rock and Robin, she's only 19. No, at this point, she's 15 days away.
There's not. Who's after that?
After that, you're getting into like the thousands.
Is this like the Sammartino and Hogan age?
Because Bruno Sammartino, I didn't know this. Bruno Sammartino has the number 2, like number 4. No, he has the number 4 and number 2.
Mm-hmm.
From 71 to 73, and then like 74 to 77.
Yeah. That's back in the days where they didn't trade titles every week.
I don't remember who's number 5. I don't remember who's number 6 or number 5. But then it goes Sammartino, Hogan, Sammartino, Moolah.
Yep.
Is Moolah number 1?
Moolah's number 1.
Oh.
Hers is like 10,000 days.
Well, so wasn't that the title that...
We've
talked about before.
Yeah, she's an awful human being.
Yes.
Can confirm.
Sammartino was definitely in a class of his own in that top 5.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's one of those things too, like even Hogan, cause Hogan, this, the Hogan reign that went that long was like 83 to 85.
That was early Hogan, right?
Like early to mid 80s is when it happened. So this was before we had weekly TV. This was before monthly pay-per-views. This was when they're wrestling.
This was closed circuit.
This may, like, before that even. Like, this is, you know, they're wrestling once a month.
Yeah.
And they're built like that, and that's it.
And it's also, like, important to remember that Sammartino definitely had a broken neck during the second reign.
Broken freaking neck.
No, that's Angle.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah, no, like, Sammartino is, he should have been in the Hall of Fame a lot earlier than he was. I get why he wasn't.
Yeah, that was just a...
That was a petty
politics.
Thing. Yeah, that was
politics.
Just everybody was mad at everybody. But yeah, no, Sammartino, he was so good.
Speaking of politics and failing, Global Force Wrestling failed to trademark Broken Matt, Brother Nero, Vanguard One, and Broken Brilliance, which didn't you say that Matt also tried to do that and couldn't get it either?
He claims that he owns the trademarks, is what he claims.
Which, if that's
this story comes out that part of the reason that some of those were rejected was because the wording was too vague. Broken Brilliance, they had to prove that was a wrestling exclusive term. Brother Nero, it's like, okay, but is this a character or a human? Because Jeff Hardy's middle name is actually Nero. Matt Hardy had already filed a petition for it, so that got taken. So GFW could reword and like reapply for these trademarks and still possibly get them.
But so couldn't Matt Hardy as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if nobody has the trademark, why don't they use it? Why don't they use Broken?
Well, it's the whole thing of like, I understand WWE's logic behind it, just being like, we don't want to get sued. We're dealing with budget cuts. And it's not honestly worth it because the Hardy Boys are still over as they are without the broken things right now.
Well, don't worry. They don't have to be broken.
Let me...
You finish and then I'll go.
So it's the same thing with like whenever X-Pac went to TNA, early TNA, and they had, I think they called him like Six-Pac.
Six-Pac, which is what they used in,
Well, no, they just used Six in WCW. So they used the combination. Yeah. And X-Pac told him, was like, dude, he apparently does. He owns the trademark of X-Pac. He's just like, dude, I own the trademark. Like, why are, and he's like, we just don't want to deal with law, like lawyers. So Matt may legitimately own those trademarks, but WWE's just like, honestly, not worth it right now until all this gets settled.
But they did do a backstage interview where they are now woke.
I love that. I love that so much.
The Woken Hardys.
And he's doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, they're not going to change the formula.
I feel like Woken works as well as Broken.
It does, and that's the best part.
Yeah.
Especially since they're staying faces.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Broken is a very, like, Broken Cody Rhodes.
That's
like
a heel thing.
That's very much a heel thing, because you have to remember that this whole thing started with Matt Hardy being the biggest bad guy TNA had at the time.
Yup. Also funding TNA for the most part.
And that's where a lot of where GFW kind of loses ground when they say like, yeah, but Jeremy Borash put so much time and energy in it. I'm sure he did. But if Matt Hardy actually paid for the production of it.
Yeah.
He also sent out a very interesting tweet that Iconic Matt Hardy and Big Money Matt were all invented in ROH. But guess what they called him when he first came to TNA at the beginning of both of those runs?
I remember Big Money Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, whenever they devalued that belt.
Yeah, that was back when Matt really
shouldn't have. Yeah, he wasn't there yet.
Yeah,
he wasn't ready yet.
But damn, that Broken gimmick.
Or he wasn't in a healthy place yet.
Right,
I should say that.
Right, looks great now though.
Yeah,
and it's very entertaining.
Yeah, no, him and Jeff both like seem to be like healthy, happy. Like,
I wish they would get the damn gimmick though, because I said it back when they were in TNA that when the Broken gimmick works great when it's reined into reality, because then it's very eccentric.
It's just like, well, these people are weird.
Yeah. But whenever it's, you know,
volcanoes
and crazy Steve killing people, no, that's just stupid. Anyway.
You want to delete it.
Yeah.
Also, remember fans.
What did your hand just do?
Remember fans, when doing the delete motion.
Just two fingers.
Two fingers out.
Yeah.
Only two.
Not a whole hand.
Finn Balor.
That's something else.
That was a couple weeks ago.
Did he do the whole hand?
Yes. Yeah, on Raw, on the main stage, like right in front of the entryway, just full, all fingers pointed.
No. JBL stood up and applauded.
There was a video
and Goose stepped over there.
Someone, I don't remember which segment it was, but Lesnar and Heyman were in the ring, and there was a fan in between them and trying to do the delete motion and yelling it, but also all fingers extended, just the two.
Just two
fingers. Just like you're swiping away at something on your phone.
It's like when you're saying goodbye. Two fingers. That's it. You're out.
For the peace sign.
Yeah.
Oh.
Literally. What are you talking about?
I wasn't talking about anything.
Get out. Kenny Omega was originally scheduled to defend the U.S. title at Ring of Honor Global Wars. Ring of Honor now says it won't be a title match.
Yeah, apparently, they originally said that it was for the United States Championship. The theory on this is that it got changed because he's probably going to defend that championship before, because this show's not until later this year.
Yeah, it's a while away.
And so New Japan is very protective of spoilers and making sure that every championship match could change hands.
Right.
Anything
can happen in the
It very much seemed like that's something that they could have changed since they're expecting him to do that. Another theory is that they're just flat out trying to downplay his importance since he's not an ROH guy.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I was gonna say I love Kenny Omega, but who the F doesn't?
Never
mind, damn it. I set myself up for that, I'm sorry.
And so now people are worried instead of having like a one-on-one championship match, he's gonna be put in like a multi-man scramble.
Like something WWE would write.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
So.
We'll see. Also, before we get to Stride and CCW, Kairi Sane, what?
Well, this ties into that actually.
Okay. Kairi Sane suffered a concussion at the Mae Young Classic, which sucks, man. She was the one I was excited the most to see. Well, her and Marty Bell. Kairi Sane recently signed. I can't remember her name from New Japan Stardom. What it was called? Stardom, right?
For who?
Kairi Sane.
Wasn't it Kairi Hojo?
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, because she was Kairi Hojo
in the
Yeah, Kairi Hojo. And now she's Kairi Sane.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that sucks. But you had something else to add to that?
Kind of. We're not getting into like the match itself because it's still like this was the second set of tapings for it, and we don't want to get into spoilers for something that hasn't even aired yet. But to tie into that, there is a going theory that with these budget cuts that because the network is underperforming and, you know, we haven't seen Pyro in a while. Like, there's all these things that WWE is trying to do to save money. One of those things is the, 2K or 2K, the UK series is pretty much postponed indefinitely.
Yep.
Because it's going to cost a lot of money to do that. One of the theories is that if they hadn't announced the women's tournament so early in advance,
they canceled.
That it wouldn't have even happened. And so now there's a reason they aren't getting a weekly show. They're doing this in two set tapings, unlike the way that the Cruiserweight Classic was.
Yeah.
So that's a bummer.
That's unfortunate.
At this point, honestly, the more, because I've actually, you would be proud of me, Dalton, I've seen some more of British Strong Style stuff. That should just be a stable on SmackDown.
Pete Dunne,
Tyler Bate, Seven?
Yeah,
Severn.
Trent Seven.
And Neville. Yeah.
Keep him in the cruiserweights.
I think. Oh, what is it? And now that, since we're talking about it, Pete Dunne versus Jack Gallagher at
Progress?
I think it's Progress. Yeah. So they're defending that WWE belt in Independent Series.
Well, they gotta get something out of it.
I mean, yeah. No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not
so,
saying
okay,
it's
with
bad,
the UK just, show postponed. Mm-hmm. Would you be opposed to them making that belt more of an NXT thing?
Still, yes.
Yeah.
You would still be that?
Because the NXT you at some point. With the amount of people they're still signing and the amount of people they already have, like, I am not advocating for there to be more WWE wrestling a week. But at what point do you have the conversation that NXT has moved to 2 hours?
Yeah.
Because that's a stacked roster. You got more names coming in all the time. Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, Adam Cole.
Kairi Sane,
Adam Cole is almost guaranteed to show up at TakeOver.
Right.
You know, Crazy Steve was at a tryout. Like,
and it's one of those things now that I'm just, and I love NXT, like, and I think it's a fantastic thing they're doing. But at a certain point, you need to just not have people in NXT. What good is Bobby Roode doing in NXT that he couldn't be doing? Like, I mean, he's the main guy there right now. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those just being like, all right, we have all this talent. Some of it needs to go up to the main roster because the NXT, it's starting to swell.
And it's gonna get bigger because if
and that's what I'm saying. Like they need to.
Because if the talent cuts go through, part of the talent cuts is they're not just gonna release people, but like people who are huge stars in NXT but aren't really doing anything in the main roster could go back to NXT.
It's happened.
There's
Zack Ryder.
They've talked about.
Back,
yeah, there's
been. Went to
well,
NXT.
No, like I'm talking like Ty Dillinger.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
people yeah. like Ty Dillinger, Mojo
Tyler
Rawley,
Breeze,
like Tyler Breeze,
Fandango.
Like those people could just go back to NXT because, which at this point, like that would be a shame because Breezango is one of the best things on SmackDown.
Yeah, Mojo Rawley got that Andre the Giant thing just to kind of get. I mean,
what
don't get me wrong.
What happened to that guy? Has he been on lately?
Him and Kyle. Or why did I say Kyle? Him and Zack Ryder had a thing where like he threw him out of that Rumble for the US belt.
I remember that.
And then they made it seem like they were going to be the ones that trashed Breezango's office. So I wonder if something happened that plan got scrapped and then that's why we didn't get a match at Punjabi Prison show.
You would at least feel that like if they weren't doing that Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder would have now be feuding at this point.
Yeah.
But still nothing.
Yeah. Huh. So I don't know. Maybe they're Well, I mean, I guess they could do a heel, like they could still do a heel turn, like simultaneously, but they just did that with the Bar or Sheamus Cesaro.
Yeah. I feel like Mojo needs to go heel and put him in a feud with Zach. And I know Zach's going to lose, but whatever.
I would love to see Mojo get released.
You'd like him get what?
Hmm? I didn't say anything.
You want to see him get released? Is that what you said?
I would never say such wishing.
He didn't say you have the G1 standings?
I do. This is just something that I'm interested in, like, and I want to, like, it changes because this is like a 2 week tournament, but it's something that I think is neat.
And then after that, we're going to talk about Stridens and CCW.
Yes. Yep. Block A.
Probably going to run a little late tonight. Sorry, guys.
Block A is still a 4-way tie between Naito, Ishii, Tanahashi, and Zack Sabre Jr. at 8 points apiece. Block B, the top three are, well, there's a 3-way tie for third with Suzuki, Sonata, and Evil. Number two is Kenny Omega with 10 points, and Okada has 12.
Yep.
So I'm genuinely curious if they let Okada win it and what happens to that briefcase if the champion wins. Like, if he just
Throw it away?
If they just determine a new champ, or if they
may get to pick his champion, he may get to do the opposite of being like, I want this person.
He picks his own challenger. That would actually be kind of cool.
I think that'd be a cool thing.
And with Okada, he would pick like the best match possible.
He would go, that would be a Kenny Omega.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, the smart thing obviously would be like, okay, I'm going to fight that 8-year-old girl that fought Omega.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make her
better.
Cry.
Yeah, I'll do better. All right, let's talk about Stride. Stride Pro Wrestling. I want to send a special shout out to my old friend, Beauregard. good friend of mine. Now let's talk about Stride.
You weird. So this Saturday at the Marion Star Center Mall, is Hot August Night 2. I have the card. I just got to get it pulled up.
I know that, the Neon Nightmares, that's what we call them.
Yep.
Is going up against Dalton. You should know this off the top of your head.
It's, Farmer Billy Hills and JD Wilk.
Oh my God.
JD making his, big return to Stride.
And I can't tell you how, like, how much I want to see that match.
Yeah.
Are you coming with?
With you guys leaving so early and me having to go to that meeting, I probably cannot. Oh, that's right,
because I have a thing.
Unless I drive myself, which, if Lindsay's working, I probably cannot.
How many times has Lonnie not shown up to those meetings?
That's true. I'll talk to him. I'll see what I can do, because I really want to. Billy Hills and JD Wilk together, mm-hmm. That's fresh. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
And when you combine Billy Hills' natural charisma and talent and power and speed with JD Wilk's ability to do literally anything, including having the tightest abs possible, I can't not see that match. And then you have Maximum Overdrive, who I love too. I mean, this is a great match. I'm literally foaming at the mouth for this match.
So yeah, that one's going to be crazy. GM Sam put on Facebook that, you know, there's a big opportunity in store for somebody. So I'm interested to see what that is. Dexter Roswell has demanded that, T-Dog be at the show. So we'll see what comes of that, because
so worker demands co-worker show up to work. Good on you.
I mean, it's Dexter. I don't see T-Dog being
too afraid
back
of that.
Yeah, to back down from, because there's been some bad blood building there.
I don't know, he's got those two guys with him.
That's the bad blood. They think they're rivals, and T-Dog's just been destroying them.
Oh.
Recent change of heart haver. Oh God, I screwed that up. Sarah Summers taking on Candy Jewel. Which I've seen them wrestle before on YouTube.
Yeah, Sarah's been talking about this one on Facebook quite a bit.
I'm really excited for this match too. Tony Flood versus Brian Blades, who was in the Rumble for last month.
Oh, that one.
He was the big guy.
Ooh, sorry, Tony.
Red Daniels versus Chris Hargis.
Ooh, that should be good.
I'm excited for that. I'm surprised it's happening so soon, but at the same time, I'm happy that I don't have to wait for it.
Yeah. Are you gonna tell me? Hargis showed up at Sam's office and Sam told him no.
The number one contendership match is Heath Hatton versus Jay Spade. That's another one that I think is going to be insane. They're both so quick. Spade is so good at looking hurt. Like, it upsets me a little, because every time I'm just like,
Spade is so
stop good. Being good at what you do.
Like Austin Lane.
Yeah.
Every time he fakes hurt, I literally go, oh
no.
Don't tell me.
Right. Stupid. I don't want to have to talk Austin about this Lane. On a show. That match is going to be crazy. The stuff that they've been building towards just the last few months, with the miscommunication to now the outright just like dislike of each other.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. And then the main event, for the Stride Heavyweight Championship, Big Roger Mathis versus Cash Borden. That's a match that I've wanted to see for a while. Anyway, just because
the
both
Mad
of those
Viking
guys are
versus the Undead Outlaw.
Yeah.
Yup.
And then after the Rumble show, with Cash throwing him his mouth guard and blowing
him. Oh, no, it was Dalton Diamond's button.
Oh, yeah, it was Dalton Diamond's button, and then blowing Roger the kiss.
Oh, no.
I could feel the heat, like, radiating off of Roger, because remember, he was sitting right next to us.
I do remember that.
Yeah, so it's gonna be awesome. I'm so excited for the show.
That's a stacked card.
Yeah.
That's a great, great card right there.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you feel the most bad for?
Who do I feel the most bad for?
Is it
for?
Dexter?
No, it's the people.
No,
it's anyone who misses this show.
Oh!
Me, because I work.
Aww.
Allie.
We haven't been to the last, like, what, 7 Stride shows?
We?
Yeah, I was going to say.
You we.
That's out of the table.
Yeah.
You got the,
We're busy.
Anyway. CCW.
Let's talk about CCW.
CCW.
One more plug for Stride. This Saturday, bell time is at 6:30.
I believe so. I don't have that. I'll pull up the poster real quick just so
and
we can.
Also, we want to mention that our very own Dalton Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Dalton, you tell the good news. I want you to make the announcement.
Yeah. So, anybody that goes to Strider knows, Kevin Huntsberger, their ring, announcer. Great guy. He actually has his own wrestling podcast where he gets a lot of the guys from Stride. Go and listen to this week's episode. He actually interviewed Cash Borden. Ace, have you listened to it yet?
I haven't had a chance to.
It's really good.
Like, it's literally what I'm going to listen to. I have it set to where it'll play for me tomorrow morning as I'm getting ready for
it. It's basically the Stride version of this show.
Yeah, and it's usually one-on-one. Kevin does such a good job interviewing people. Well, he had a blog not too long ago on his My 1-2-3 Cents talking about action figures and actually took one of the pictures that I used, from my Isaac Yankum that I bought and put it, talked about that and talked about me and my collecting. And Billy Hills, the patron saint of Illinois, said, you guys should totally do a podcast. And I just kind of said, I'm game. And he announced it on the Cash Borden episode. So hopefully next week you will have a podcast on My 1-2-3 Cents where it's me and Kevin talking about action figures, which I'm super excited about. Kevin, he has like a bunch of LJN, like super old things that I want to talk about.
I feel like this is the first time that one of the Podzilla guys has gone on another podcast.
Yeah.
So you're the first. So yeah, congratulations.
So
definitely check that out. My 1-2-3 Cents.
Don't embarrass us.
Yo, don't embarrass us. Not in front of Kevin.
Oh, I hope he's not wearing this.
I won't be on, but I'll be there. I will spray you with a spray bottle.
he'll know. He'll know.
But yeah, no, it should be really good. I'm excited for it. We've been kind of ironing out the details of what we're going to be talking about. Hopefully I won't stutter on the show.
Yeah, don't porky pig it.
Yeah, I'll try my best.
It's going to be
But yeah, no, I'm excited for it. It's one of those things I don't get to talk about action figures a whole lot. And
except for that one episode that was dedicated to it, and also last week on Pro Wrestling Scripted when you had that huge segment.
It was dedicated
with Mary Carafa.
That got cut short because we started talking about CCW.
We had to talk about CCW, we're going to talk about it right now because over the weekend was the anniversary show for Cape Championship Wrestling.
I like that you use your excited voice to shut him up.
Thank you. I would be more excited, but I am very tired. I really am.
Thanks.
Sorry. No, but I am super excited about that.
Yeah,
so Dalton Anthony on My 1-2-3 Cents with Kevin, and it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and we'll share it. Yeah, Pods, we'll
He'll
share
He'll be good.
Yeah, I'll
you
be.
You better match it.
I will be the third most over person on that podcast. So it, Lane. Stealing it.
Whoa, hold on.
But there's only two
people. I hear crickets. All right. So Cape Championship Wrestling did have their 1-year anniversary show over the weekend. And we started the day off with a, bye Dalton, where's he going? He's grabbing his drink. He's coming back to the table, sitting down back in front of the microphone.
Jesus, you didn't have to do that.
So, we had the meet and greet here at Gaming Grounds with Austin Lane, Nikki Lane, and Justin, the Juice Smart. That was fantastic. All three of those guys, well, two guys and a lady, were fantastic. I couldn't have been happier with it. They seemed like they were having a good time. The fans that came in were having a good time.
Had Marco show up.
Marco did crash the party, and it wasn't a party till Marco showed up. Let's just say that.
Was it a birthday party?
It was a birthday party.
Happy birthday, Marco.
Happy belated birthday, Marco. And I will say, real quick, special shout out to Caleb Carter, who took one of the most painful chops I've ever seen in my life.
You didn't see that Fujinami match.
No. I saw this up close, though. Like, that, oh my God, it sounded like a gunshot when Marco chopped him. It was insane. Marco,
and now people are like, you opened the floodgates.
Everybody wants now to get
people,
chopped.
Everybody's wanting to chop. Apparently, everybody wants to chop Caleb now.
Well, he let Sarge chop him, too.
It's like Sarah, Sarge, yeah. Like
I was calling Sarah off until I saw the Sarge video.
I would love to see Sarah chop
Sarah,
him.
Do you, dog. That's all you now.
So we had that, and then we went over to the arena, and we did our interview stuff. We did our segment stuff, which went really well. Some great material recorded.
Ooh, yeah.
Some of our favorite interviews that we ever did. Mm-hmm. Dalton did a great one with Sin, who became Jackson Crowley, which is on Facebook right now. If you go to Cape,
you can go to YouTube and type in Cape Championship Wrestling and find it that way.
Yeah, that was really good. Ace did a fun one with Damone that we had a lot of fun one.
Ace
fun,
did,
fun
yeah.
With. Well, fun might not be the word for it.
No, I mean, it's one of the more, like, as opposed to just, like,
Standard
there or someone coming in, like this was, we almost shot it like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like same with the Jackson Crowley one.
Yeah.
Very Blair Witchy.
Yeah. So, one was fun. I think one of my favorite ones was I really liked the LA Hustlers one.
Yeah. That was incredibly fun.
Cause like it made me feel good that it's like I had this idea and they seemed on board with it. And then they're just so,
they just ran them with
they're so entertaining. Like, yeah. And they were able to just totally, go with it.
They really need to give them some mic time.
Oh.
I think they should get some mic time. Just like Billy Hills. They should get some mic time.
Oh, that was amazing.
But yeah, LaMonda Bradley were so much fun. And it was just a fun, fun interview. We did some cool stuff with Austin and Dell.
Billy almost punched me in the face again. Billy Hills.
Marco.
Marco's.
Oh my, Marco's was Marco.
Yeah, Marco is Marco.
I hope those don't get, like the ones that they don't get used. Like I need to ask what happens to those, because I would love to do to be able to put some of those for like
our just our stuff.
Yeah.
On the YouTube channel or something.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I
put it on the CCW YouTube channel, put it on like Facebook or
Zach
something.
Zach Price filmed them, and Zach Price is a Podzilla guy.
But then all of the memory cards go to Osby. Yeah. So I don't know what Osby does with them.
Speaking of Osby, I got to do my first on-screen segment with Osby.
It feels good, doesn't it?
No. Because then I watched it back, and I'm like, who's the ham beast sitting next to Osby?
Ham beast!
No, in all seriousness, I didn't look terrible.
No.
But...
You wore sleeves.
I did wear sleeves for Osby. And I'm still bigger than Osby, and it's still weird. I can't do an interview with Marco or, like, Austin. Mm-hmm. Like
Allie can do an interview with Marco. I did the one with Marco, and it was just like, all right, they were, like, trying to make him look short. All right, cool. And I just kind of...
Yeah, I should. Did they really say
make him look short? Well, no, because Marco was like... Like, Billy was like, do you want me to, like, be on all fours and you stand on my back? And I was like, I mean, if you want to, but then they didn't do it. So, like, it was like microphone, the full arm extended down.
Yeah.
The last, not the anniversary show, but the show before that, Inferno, we shot a fun one with Marco.
Yeah.
That included him going over to the water fountain that was right next to us, picking up the step stool and slamming it down next to me and then jumping up on top of it and then, like, leaning on me.
He is just a little bag of joy.
He is. God, a bag of joy.
After we did the interviews, or actually before we did the interviews, Billy Gunn, who was a special guest, mm-hmm. Mr. Ass, as we referred to him. We were polite. Mr. Ass.
Yeah.
Formal. The one Mr. Ass. One ass. He did a seminar in the ring with a lot of the guys, a lot of the CCW wrestlers. Some people I didn't know were in there, so that was very cool. We got to listen to some of that from the outside, obviously, because we were waiting to do our interviews and whatnot. Billy Gunn seemed very... Very charming.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of.
He's
Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
He has that sense of humor.
He's very much a jokester because I did the interview with him and it's not, I won't say that he wasn't taking it seriously, but he was having so much fun at my expense.
Well, and I even mentioned, like, as his match was starting in the main event, like, I leaned over to Shannon, I was like, it's actually really nice to see just like how much fun he seems to be having with this.
Yeah.
Like, cause he seemed like he was genuinely having a good time.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to that. Yeah. We'll get to that. I have a few criticisms and I'm an honest journalist. So mm-hmm. I will say my criticisms, but I'll say them in a way that is constructive. And I won't just bash.
Yeah, you're not just going to bash yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Cause we all like, we had
so much fun at the show as we always do. Not only did we have fun at the show, but it was a legit sellout. We actually had to get new chairs. In fact, I didn't get to my chair until the end of the Billy Hills match because I was helping Ken Murphy and Barry and Jason get new chairs and escort people to it. Dalton was helping me escort people.
I was actually wondering how, because I was filming the last interview with, Austin and Dell and Jeff O'Dell and Hollis. Literally, and Jeff's like, yeah, so it's 2 minutes till and I'm in the opening. It's like, all right, let's get this knocked out.
His was very last minute.
Because we changed it. Like, we recorded one for Dell, and then I don't know if it was Austin's idea or
what. It was Austin's, I'm pretty sure.
But he's like, hey, we're going to do this instead. And like, that's an awesome idea.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. It's different.
So as I was getting to my seat, because I ran to my car and changed out of my Jeff O'Dell costume and put on my anniversary shirt, I passed you, and you were just like, apparently I have to go, like, do crowd control. Well, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, and I want to say, if I did say I had to, I didn't have to. Like, no one. No point. I just want to clear, you know, in case Ken or somebody's listening, they go, oh, God, no, he didn't have to. No, I know I didn't have to.
No, no.
I wanted to because, you know, we love those guys. And anything we can do to help, obviously, we want to do. But, yeah, Ken asked me, can you go check this? Can you check that? And, you know, me being the most swift on my feet of the four of us, that's the joke, was that I was running back and forth. And I finally sat down at the end of the Billy Hills match. I messaged Billy, and I was like, yeah, I didn't even get to see your match. All I saw was the beatdown at the end. Mm-hmm. So that did kind of bum me out a little bit. I'll just have to wait to see it on Chaos, which is every Wednesday at 6 p.m. on Fight TV.
Well, good news is you'll get to see it a little bit before everybody else.
That's true. Ooh. Yeah, me, you, and a couple other people, but don't tell anybody.
Okay.
So the show was great, as you'd imagine it would be. For the anniversary show, they really did pull out all the stops. A lot of good matches. A lot of our favorites were there. In a night full of cool moments, because there were so many things that I could say that was the coolest thing. For me, just on a personal level, Diamond Doll coming back was the coolest moment to me.
As soon as I like, as, cause as
you were the first person to recognize it.
Yeah, because I recognized the music. Like, I was like, wait, that's Diamond Doll's name. And like, and I legitimately like,
eyes lit up at me and yelled Diamond Doll.
Yeah,
like,
and
that's
like,
what happened.
I reached over, like, I think I should apologize to Allie because I'm pretty sure I might have hit you, like, as I was trying to, like, slap at Shannon and be like, it's her. Like, I legitimately, like, came out of my seat. Like, that was just so, because we know, like, the reason she hasn't been around. So right. just to see her back again is, even if this was like a one-off appearance.
It was a great one-off appearance.
Was, yeah,
she looked amazing. Allie and I talked to her backstage.
Yeah.
And, I finally got to talk to her. Mm-hmm. Megan was there.
Yeah, Megan.
And told her the story about how I got burned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about how I got burned and then how on the show that Megan was actually on when you talked about how much you missed Diamond Doll. And Megan was just sitting there, was like, oh, I can't tell him.
Yeah.
I can't tell him. Yeah. He's going to be so surprised.
Like when Blaster came back and they were hiding it from us.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, seeing Diamond Doll again was just really, really cool.
Yeah. But I mean, some big news coming out of it, though. We have new tag champs.
We do. Yeah. The LA Hustlers. And that's the bad news. Blaster did drop the tag title. Spoiler alert, if you didn't get to see the show. The Sexy Blaster is no longer champion, but they are getting a shot at the title at the next show, which is
Homecoming 2.
Homecoming 2. We'll talk about that probably next week because they announced the matches. We'll probably have Jason on next week to talk about it because he said he has some exclusive stuff he wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. Maybe Damone can call in and talk to Jason directly. That would be fun.
That'll always be
That'll fun. Be a train wreck.
Yeah.
The other big news coming out, because a lot of the matches are great. Do you guys want to go match by match or just?
That's what I would like to do. Just
okay.
That's kind
you
of
hit us up then.
The first match was Billy and Espy.
Which I miss, and I'm really sad because that is a match I wanted to see.
And it was good. It starts with Pinnacle beating down Espy, pretty much and Espy working his way back. It was stiff. Like they were.
So was their
in.
First match.
Yeah, and that's
we thought Billy died.
We knew that's what it was going to be going in, but always like the two of them together, like so good. Damone costing Espy the match though. So
damn
Billy picked
Nephilim.
Which if Espy hadn't lost to Ace Hawkins, the MWR title would have potentially had a new home in Billy Hills.
Oh, Billy would love that.
So
he does have a new title though.
He does. He did get that. Like that was some people gave him the turd championship, which and I was there when he got it, and he was like, just I need you to picture this. Billy Hills was speechless.
That's never
like,
happened.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
No, it was
that's
so
legitimately
sweet.
Yeah,
it's so like, and that's one of the things that we love that I love about CCW is just like getting to know
moments.
People. Yeah,
yeah.
And just
yeah.
like stuff like that.
Because I think that was the Stephanies that gave them to him. It's the two ladies that always sit like front row.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Also got the list too.
Mm-hmm.
That was
yeah,
from Caleb Tripp.
Blast is number two. Blaster's number two on the list. Unfortunately, we're not on the list.
Yeah, oh yeah, we are. Yeah. We're on like page four.
The second match was the tag title match. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Hustlers are just so.
Oh my God. When,
so much fun.
When
food.
Sarge danced and we all put. Okay. So first off, we get to the show. I get to the show.
Oh!
You guys get to the show first. I get there, second. And then Allie gets there later on because she worked. I see Sarge sitting on the picnic table outside as I'm walking in. He says, "Hey, what's up?" I say, "What's up?" We shake up and he's like, "Wait till you see my outfit tonight. Wait till you see my outfit tonight." Oh, by mm-hmm. the way. I gotta tell this part of the story. So while I'm talking to Sarge.
How many times did he introduce himself to you?
Just, well, no, he didn't even introduce me. He knows me.
I got it twice on Saturday.
Did you really?
Yes! I was like, I'm not Asa. That's the other one.
So I'm sitting there talking to Sarge and Austin Lane is over by the exit talking to somebody and he yells out at me. He's like, "Hey, Shannon, what's the best match of the year?" And I was just like, it's you and Marco. And he's like, "I told you." And then I yell at him, but the best moment of the year was when Sarge kissed me. And Sarge just like throws his hands up. I love that. I love Sarge and Austin so much.
Speaking of Sarge's gear.
Yes. So Sarge's gear was this fuzzy, multicolored.
Like rainbow fur.
Yeah. In the front, Dalton.
About to say, we're missing that it wasn't the fuzziest outfit he could have wore because there was two spots that weren't fuzzy at all.
Which was just mesh and ass. It was mesh and ass. And
that sounds like the worst movie. Or the best.
Or the best. I tried to put a dollar in Sarge's thong, which I got from Allie because she gives me my allowance. And I couldn't get his thong, so I'm pulling at it, but he's so oily and smells good that as I'm trying to pull at it, I'm taking so long, I heard him go, "Hey, that's my ass." And I was like, "Oh."
The best thing is in the middle of the match, so he usually takes all the money out. But there was one lone dollar bill floating around left ass cheek.
Just in the back that you can see.
Yeah, and I looked at Allie. I was like, "Can confirm, still a dollar in there." And she looked and just started laughing.
And of course,
yeah.
During the match of the Hustlers, I think it was Bradley came over and like tried to do the same thing. Started pulling his shorts down. And we're like, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
That's not sexy. That was a great match.
It was, yeah.
So the Hustlers with some shenanigans, but new tag team champions.
Yes,
so
and the big thing is I hope, like, I know Sarge is good. You know Sarge is going to be good no matter what. I hope Blaster doesn't get lost in the shuffle because he's not in the tag hunt anymore, because I feel like he's done such a good job with his character and with...
Well, that's we're getting the rematch, aren't we?
We are. But we'll see what happens.
After that, yeah.
Yeah.
The next match was another tag team match with Ace Hawkins and his new cheering section, Dexter Roswell.
The what is their name, Allie?
Dexter had the sign that said the Proclamation of Acclamation.
Yeah.
Yes.
I put that
Johnny on the spot. Sorry.
That was another really fun interview that I got to do. Was with the two of them. And they took on Roscoe Lisa, which that just came out of the guns or came out of the gate just
chopping.
Super hard chops. I love the where they set the chairs down in opposite corners, like away from us, and did the simultaneous crossover.
The boot. Oh, brutal.
Giant boots, yeah.
So Roscoe and Lisa, they were a little bit more vicious than we've seen them. Like, they took the fight to them hard. Yeah. And during the end of the match, Dexter comes out. No, I'm sorry. That's later.
JD.
Sorry.
Oh, but no, that was a different match.
That was later. So, all right. We're pro wrestling unscripted.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hide things. Here's the thing. As it stands now, that was the last Roscoe Lisa match you're gonna see.
Yeah,
that's it.
We hope it's not, but as it stands,
if you know these guys, you've seen everything that's happened. We're not gonna get into it, but this, as far as we know, is the last Roscoe Lisa match. And if it is the last Roscoe Lisa match, I want to go out and say that great tag team. I love them so much. I'm excited to see what Mikey does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But
I don't want to not mention that. Yeah, we wish them both well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Excited to see what comes next with Mikey.
Yeah.
Especially so.
And hopefully, like I said, if there's a reunion down the line, I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
Because
so
much fun.
Because the September show, we were supposed to get Roscoe Lisa versus Besties in the World. Mm-hmm. And that was just one more. One more match. One more match.
All right. What do we got next though?
Next up, it was, it was Nikki Lane and Marco versus Mardi Gras and Tattoo, which is when we got the, Diamond Doll return.
Yeah, and that was so much fun. I love seeing Diamond Doll out there, especially now that she's not ignoring me. I made a picture of Macaroni that was like me hugging her, and I was like, this could be us, but you keep playing. You
know? This match was another really fun.
Seeing Marco and Nikki do the simultaneous fanny packs.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, that was...
And of course, Tattoo's always good.
Yeah.
Tattoo is always fantastic. Mm-hmm. Just lightning fast. Him and Marco had some great sets. It was a really good match. Mardi Gras was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a big angle coming out of this too.
Yep. Because Sarah Summers, who we hadn't seen in a little bit, comes out with Jeff and Nikki and Marco as part of the Pinnacle. She, at the end of the match is, Nikki was up top. Sarah went up onto the apron to try to distract the referee or, you know, trying to help out her team. But when, I think it was Lane?
No, it was Kelly.
It was Kelly?
I'm pretty sure.
Whenever the referee sent her away, as she jumped down from the apron, she kind of knocked the top rope, knocked Nikki off, and that led to the win for Tattoo and Mardi Gras, which, as she was trying to explain herself, Nikki just ambushes her.
Yep.
Just lays her out. That was actually something that I was, like, super happy to see, because, one, Sarah's away from the Pinnacle, which the more people away from the Pinnacles, the best.
Yeah.
But also just like the reaction that she got.
Yeah.
Like, and not even just from us, because clearly we kind of pride ourselves on.
I'm pretty sure we let it. Like, as soon as it happened, you and I looked at each other. We're kind of like, all right, we've stood up and started clapping.
I mean, we stood up and started clapping, like, and yeah, we let it, but
the crowd was so energetic for Sarah.
Yeah. Like, everyone was just so ready to cheer her.
Yeah.
And like, so that
was really cool.
Yeah.
It's, and you kind of wanted to text Brandon Barbwire and go, hey, did you ever get a standing ovation?
I told Sarah she better say that to him next time she sees him.
So yeah, that was really cool. And that's one of the things that I like about the CCW fans is that just like.
So I kind of thought during that, I yelled out Billy. Mm-hmm. I was like, Billy, maybe this, cause I thought maybe this is a Southern discomfort start that Billy is going to break away. Roger will break away and they'll do this. But I thought to myself, as far as I know, they've never actually referred to them as a couple on the show. We did that.
Yeah, we did.
I
we've seen it in Stride.
I think
in Stride, yeah, but not in CCW. Stride.
didn't in the, like the early shows.
Oh yeah, Sarah was out with Billy.
Like Sarah.
Well, she was out with Billy, but they never said that was his girlfriend or wife or anything. They just said Sweet Sarah Summers out with the Pinnacle. Yeah.
Well, it's what we started that.
Yeah, we did the whole Billy's sister and stuff like that.
Sarah's brother.
So, but it makes more sense that he didn't come out to do anything.
When we were at dinner, I was like, I was kind of half expecting Billy to just come out and plant her with that running power slam. He's like, oh, I should have.
Oh, that would have been so great.
That would have been.
So yeah, it was a good match and really cool to see Sarah get a moment to shine like that. And I messaged her and I was like, I hope this is the start of something cool. She said, smile. So
face.
Yeah. So very cool. Very cool.
And now the puppets are on your side. So congratulations.
Well,
to Sarah.
Not on Dalton's. Okay. On Sarah's. Yeah. Yeah. Not on Dalton's. No one's on his side.
That was the, and then that was the intermission. Coming back from intermission was,
421 days.
Ozzy Tomlin.
Where'd you get that number from?
Somewhere. Okay. The return of Ozzy Tomlin.
The return of Ozzy Tomlin taking on Jason Vaughn. My brain turned off there because I keep wanting to say their names are both Jason, so I get Wells and Vaughn confused, and I don't need to, so I have to think about it. And then, of course, Justin Smart teaming with Ozzy. I hadn't seen a whole lot of Ozzy stuff before, just because
he's vicious.
Yeah, like I think I see either Dalton or you, or something. I was like, yeah, is he normally this just this like cutthroat?
Because he's brutal. He messaged me. Well, he messaged me like 50 times after the match, and actually saw him after the match later in the show. And you know, he asked me how to look, and I was like, it looked great. Like, dude, some of those shots were brutal. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I think Jason may have forgotten a couple of the spots, and I accidentally tore his head off with that clothesline. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well,
One of the things that I really liked, I don't know if it was a character thing or if it was just like that natural emotion because it's something he hasn't been able to do for this long, but like the genuine smile on his face was just so.
I got to do the promo with him at the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. And the really cool thing with Ozzy was like before he did the promo, he was Ozzy and we were talking. And I don't know if he did this on purpose or if he legitimately goes to that dark place. Mm-hmm. But we were talking, we were joking around, we were having fun. The moment the promo started and until I saw him at the end of the show, he was so intense.
Yeah.
Like brutally intense. And he is so intense in the ring. And I know we give him crap on the show sometimes about, you know, the videos and always sent us this and he sent us that because he's excited. But that's because Ozzy loves wrestling so much. And to be able to see him wrestle again, because I've never seen him wrestle live.
Yeah.
He's always invited me. I never could. I was going to go to the first CCW show to see him wrestle. Mm-hmm. He couldn't. He retired. This is his first match back. He did a great job, and it was just genuinely nice to see him doing what he loved again.
Yeah.
And I'm glad the rumor mill's spinning, and who knows what will happen from it, but if he does go wrestling full-time again, I'm very happy about that. And I'm glad. I hope he becomes a huge part of CCW.
But even if he just got one more in, like that's
it was a good one.
I'm glad that he got that.
Yeah.
Because it was super entertaining.
It was a brutal match and it was good. It was very good.
And this is when during the match because JD came out with Ozzy.
Yes, this is what I meant earlier,
And then Dexter Oswald comes out, hands JD a note, JD reads it, just kind of smiles and nods and then leaves with Dexter, and as he was passing us, you could hear him yell, "No, you're good, you got this." just gesturing to.
All right, so I'm gonna go off script for a second and talk about a controversial topic. And if you guys don't want to talk about it, that's fine. But I have to mention it. JD's mustache. I loved it.
Oh, okay. I was like, "Where are you going with it?"
Allie pointed out to me because I didn't even see it at first. Because JD's sitting over there at the tables before the show, and he's just wearing a vest.
Yup.
You son of a bitch! I tried to look that way, and like I didn't look nearly as good in the vest as he did. And Allie was like, "Look at his mustache." And I was like, "Oh my God, that's perfect. What a douchebag."
I hope he shaves that before Saturday so I can cheer him.
Never.
They're going to CG it out.
Oh my God. Nope.
Delete.
Okay, this
delete.
Is
two fingers.
Two fingers, Dalton.
It was.
I need to CG out Superman's mustache.
Easy. Back to the show.
No, this is the show now. Oh, I'm sorry. But then with
welcome
that,
to Bird Up.
And then with that win, Jason Fury Vaughn is officially reinstated to CCW. So,
which I think they already announced at the next show. Well, we'll talk about it. Well, I got to say it because I mentioned it. It's going to be Justin Smart versus Jason Vaughn, I believe. Mm-hmm. And if what was the stipulation?
I don't remember. We're going to have to have Jason on next
if
week.
If Justin wins, I think if Justin wins, Jason Vaughn is done. But if Jason Vaughn wins, I forget. We'll have to go over it.
We need Jason Vaughn or
Wells.
Wells. Wow, thanks, Jason.
Wells.
we need him on next week to kind of clarify that.
Because if Vaughn comes on, he's bringing his nieces, and I ain't talking to them anymore.
You're not wrong.
Only good part about that was I convinced them that Del Tucker, because I kept saying he was the King of Darkness, mm-hmm. and I was like, because they were making fun of his ponytail, I was like, that's the King of Darkness. He can take your soul. And they're like, no, he can't. I was like, watch this. Asa. Yeah. Can't Del Tucker take souls? Yeah. He's the King of Darkness. That was fun.
Speaking of, that was the next match. Number one contendership for the CCW championship. Austin Lane, best of the best. From Pillar to Pope.
From rope to rope to pillar to
pope. Pillar to pope. Holy shit.
I'm sorry. I've missed it up once.
But it is.
I've missed it up as many times as you've gotten it right, Dalton.
Well, let me make that not the case. From rope to rope and pillar to post, the best of the best,
stumbled.
Austin.
You stumbled.
Oh my god, I have a stutter.
From rope to rope and pillar to post, the best of the best, Austin Lane.
There you
I got
go.
It back. I like pillar to pope.
Pillar to pope. That's gonna be a new.
I'm sorry, Jason Wells, the excitement. D'Angelo De Niro showing up.
You broke it.
It's the tag team.
You break the news.
That's the tag team.
All right, so Austin Lane and Del Tucker. Mm-hmm. Great match. We were super excited about that one. These guys know each other so well. It was kind of weird that they did the injury thing, though.
It started with the fake injury,
which Austin's too good at, and of course CeeLo throws up the X, and I bought it again.
Yeah, because Austin is so good at just conveying emotion.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
just like the way he like even just pounds the mat like in frustration. I'm like,
because when he pounded the mat, I totally believed that he was frustrated that he couldn't continue with the match.
Yeah.
I believed it.
Yeah,
you guys were a little smarter than me. He got me hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, no, I believed it. I fully believed it, but it wasn't like – it was the follow-up that was kind of a little bit more telling.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but no, up until
– up until he did the – I think it was a head scissors, wasn't it? And he kind of tossed him to the side.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't until that first extra little bit of offense that I was like, okay, we're fine. But
– Precious Cargo.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great match. They did the injury thing, which I assume meant that Austin was going to lose, which I thought would set up a really interesting scenario where you'd have Del Tucker going against Hollis, and they're both in Pinnacle.
Which that was actually the premise of the interview that I got to do with them.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
So that's what I thought was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And Austin won, and I'm a little bummed because I really think that could have been from a storyline standpoint, I think Del versus Hollis would have been cool.
Yeah.
But from I just really want to see the match, Austin versus Hollis in a ladder match, get out of here.
Yeah, no, that's going to be,
get out
that's going to be just stupid.
That match is going to blow the roof off the freaking place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's next month.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm so excited.
But yeah, Del versus Austin was a great match.
Mm-hmm.
Del, I think, didn't even tap out. He passed out at the end more or less because.
Yeah, CeeLo called it.
Mm-hmm. Del's so good.
Yeah.
We always talk about how good Austin is. Del is so good too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was though, because, as you remember, Del was a replacement for Austin Lane.
When he got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they did the CCW versus Pinnacle kind of Survivor Series style match.
Yeah.
Which we know how that turned out, but.
Thanks, Blaster.
And then the main event, Brandon Barbwire.
And Mr. Ass.
And Mr. Ass Billy Gunn versus Mathis and Hollis Jarreau, CCW champion. That was fun.
That was a fun
match.
That
was just like Billy Gunn's excitement for it. Anytime we get to see, after their one-on-one match, I will watch Brandon and Mathis wrestle every show.
Good news.
Would you say until one of them stops standing?
And even same thing with like him and Hollis. Like, yeah. I think him and Hollis have the dynamic of Mathis and Brandon is really good, but just the chemistry that I think Hollis and Brandon have as well. So, and then you throw in Billy Gunn, who's just super entertaining. He looked like he was having a blast.
The only criticism I have of that match, and I've said it, and I'm going to say it because I try to be honest, is it was a little off-putting that Brandon was so happy and was smiling and joking around with Billy Gunn, considering how much he hates Hollis and Mathis.
Yeah.
That part, I won't lie, that part did bug me a little bit.
Which, I mean, but
I get it.
And that's not even like it's a CCW exclusive thing. Like, think of every WWE.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
like,
that just happens.
No,
all
the
time.
Fact that Billy Gunn was in the ring, like, you could tell Brandon legitimately was having fun because he was working with Billy Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
I can confirm that.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't? As soon as we all saw Billy Gunn, even the people that were like, well, I never really liked Billy Gunn. He wasn't my favorite member of DX. As soon as we saw him, it was just like,
I told him they were all wrong.
Yeah. So I get it.
Oh, don't you lie.
Oh, I love
you. You're gonna look at me and say Billy Gunn was your favorite member of DX.
Oh, no, but I loved them all.
Okay,
like,
there you go.
Do you love Triple H?
Yeah.
Wait, he was in DX?
Hunter was.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, yeah.
I don't even know what this bit is anymore.
I don't either.
The match was really, really good. It was very, very good, and it was a lot of fun. And yeah, I 100% agree with you that seeing Billy Gunn in the ring having fun was really cool to see. Mm-hmm. I, one, didn't realize how big Billy Gunn was. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
That dude is a monster. He was in amazing shape. And the whole day that we saw him interacting with the fans, interacting with the wrestlers, interacting with the people backstage, mm-hmm. couldn't have been, he seemed to me like the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like he was happy to be there.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
Yeah.
That was very, very cool. But now that that's over with, we get Homecoming 2.
Yes.
Which it's back to basics, back to our guys with these huge feuds, these huge matches. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that next week, and that's going to be very, very cool. We do have one other piece of CCW business that we want to address real quick.
Yeah.
If you're a CCW fan, you probably know, you've seen that,
We've seen both sides of it. We've seen a response on both sides, the person that was let go and then CCW's response. And if you haven't, over the week, and I think it was Monday. It was
Monday.
Monday. Our ring announcer, the ring announcer at CCW, Big Curtis, made a statement about no longer working for CCW.
Yes.
Very publicly. Jason, and other owners of CCW has reached out to us, talking to us about it. And Jason wanted me to read a quick, just really quick, statement.
A formal statement from
CCW.
On the release of Curtis Gritman.
Yeah. So, and this is just a statement really quick. CCW has had great success in our first year of independent wrestling industry. During this time, we have learned that talent comes and unfortunately some talent leaves. We neither have or hold any hard feeling toward the talent when this happens. Whether by our decision or their own. With that said, as of today, we have parted ways with ring announcer Curtis Gertman. Curtis has been a great ring announcer for CCW since the Super Show in April. Going forward, our owner and former ring announcer Ken Murphy will once again be the ring announcer for CCW. We would like to publicly thank Curtis for sharing his talents with CCW and wish him all the best. I apologize for stumbling around a lot of that, but I mean, that's...
I was gonna say, we have Dalton read the statement.
He took, to be fair, no one's shitting on you. I'll say, to be fair, we don't usually read statements on the show.
Yeah.
So, and plus something this serious, because this is serious.
Yeah.
This is not a fun thing that we need to talk about. But that is the official statement.
That's the official statement. Yeah. And
I just want to say, we also wish Curtis the best because,
Curtis has been
he did a
nice
great job.
Us, yeah.
Yeah. So I wish him all the best. I really do.
Yeah. On CCW's end, I talked to multiple owners. I've talked to Barry and Jason about it, and they both said, no, like, he did a great job. It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Like, it just happens, unfortunately.
There are reasons.
Yeah.
Reasons we won't go into. That's not what you need to know. That's where
Ken is going to be announcing again, which yes. I loved Ken as a ring announcer.
I'm excited about that because Ken had a genuine...
He loves doing it.
The love. The love of announcing these guys. And we get to see more Ken, so what's not terrible?
Yeah.
Those gams.
Mm-hmm.
Gams. I'm not afraid to say that I'm pro Papa Murphy.
God. Well, I'm going to have to not try to call him that next time I see him.
Don't call him Papa Murphy. I dare you at this point. All right. So everybody, what I want you to do is I want you to, no, I'm not going to say that.
No.
Ken does not like when we give him too much attention.
No.
Okay. Going to drop it. Dropped. Microphone dropped. And I think that's it.
Yeah. We're good.
Yeah. Is there anything else?
Other than plugs.
Oh, go ahead. We got about 4 minutes left. That's perfect.
Did we really go under an hour?
No, we're at an hour and 26 minutes.
Okay, I was going to say, I was like, dear Lord, how does that even happen? No, so if you like Pro Wrestling Unscripted, the rest of Podzilla 1985 Network, please like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Podzilla1985. We're working on being more interactive, fan questions that we'll read on the air.
Absolutely.
Stuff like that, plus it just kind of helps us out.
And it's always fun to hear.
We love to hear from you guys. Listeners. Also, if you want to support us financially in our quest to get a new and improved soundboard, you can go to patreon.com/Podzilla1985.
Yes.
And any little bit helps. I think we're still in the process of retooling the rewards.
Yes. I don't like doing Patreon. I don't like doing money for this.
Yeah.
I don't. But Jesse has convinced me, and rightfully so, that this is a necessary evil.
Mm-hmm.
That we need new equipment. Our soundboard is kind of wonky sometimes. It's a necessary evil, and we thank you guys for helping out. We want to get better about giving you guys rewards. We got some sweet PW stickers we might be able to put on there.
Yeah.
Or something in the future. So stay tuned. But yeah, any financial support you guys want to throw our way, very much appreciate it.
Also, wherever you happen to be listening to us through Podbean, through iTunes, Stitcher, like any of those other, whatever podcasting service you use, if there's an option of reviewing, please do that. Give us a 5-star, 10 out of 10.
Give us a good rating.
Whichever.
Give us an ace rating.
Yeah, give us a good rating.
Give us the ace grade.
Unless it's a 10-star rating and then two aces.
Especially if it's on like, apparently iTunes is a big, metric for that. So that even if you don't listen to us on iTunes, if you go to the app and go ahead and rate us anyway, subscribe to us anyway, that helps us out immensely.
Give us give us some support.
Yeah, we're still in the process of trying to get on Spotify. So that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
And also, you know, if you like this episode, share it with your friends.
Yeah. And if you like us that much and you want more people to know, that's how you do it. Yeah. Like we can only support, or we can only push our own stuff so much. We need fan support to kind of groundswell us.
We really don't support it. We really don't push it very much though.
Like, I disagree with that.
No, I mean, like, outside of the show and like certain things, we don't, there's so much more I could do. Like, advertising, talking to different sites about hosting and stuff like that. We could do more stuff. I still have the belief sometimes that's like, man, nobody listens to us.
That is
but
not
they
true.
Do. Yeah, yeah, they do. We need to get out of the mindset that we're small time. We're big money Zilla.
And if you want to stop listening to us and start watching us, go to Fight TV every Wednesday.
Where you will listen to most of us.
Well, listen to all of us. We all talk. We're all part of the cast. Yeah. Also, happy to know that the Podzilla 1985 crew gets more airtime than all the wrestlers.
What?
On Chaos. Because we're talked through the whole show.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I don't understand.
I was
what
like,
you
we
mean.
Have like minute segments, maybe, if we're lucky.
No, they hear us. We're the voice. We're Metatron for wrestling.
Metatron.
All right, we're going to get out of here before I get too offensive. We're not doing a show tomorrow, more than likely, because it is my birthday. If you hear this, do not respond. Do not give any attention to it. But if we don't do a show tomorrow, that's why. If I'm bored, I might do one anyway, just for funsies. But I don't have anything planned. So don't tune in tomorrow expecting a new Podzilla After Dark, but we might do it anyway. Or Jesse might do it. Who knows? So if not, we'll see you on Sunday for Nerd Up. Thank you guys for listening once again. Support local wrestling. Go to capewrestling.com. Check out Stride and support your local podcasters. That's us. Thank you. And good night.